All right, here we go. We're doing another episode of Take 10, where we take 10 minutes to record some information and some leadership principles from different leaders around the country in children's ministry, and you guys take 10 minutes to listen. So I appreciate you guys tuning in and listening. Today I'm talking with Tony Coomer. He is the mastermind behind ministrytokids.com, and I love talking with him. He just loves God. He's passionate about God. He's passionate about kids, and he knows a ton about the internet and blogging and stuff. I always learn something from him. So I thought I would ask him like a few like bloggery questions, and that we all can kind of, I think, learn from, whether you have your own blog or you read them or whatever, or you don't know what a blog is. So the first question I sort of have for you, Tony, is why do you think like the kid ministry community is like so connected? Like, I think about this all the time. Like youth pastors don't seem quite as connected, and worship leaders, and like out of all the administrators, out of all the positions in a church, it seems like children's ministers are like the most networked and connected people. I can't really figure out why that is. What do you think that is?
One thing I think about when you say that is how much isolation that a lot of people in children's ministry have just in their own churches, because for better or worse, in a smaller church, you don't go to church a lot if you're teaching kids church. And if you're always dealing with parents, either for discipline issues or recruiting purposes, they don't like to talk to you as much. And the pastor may support you, but he doesn't really know what's going on. And whenever you talk to him, he wants to talk about, you know, the sermon or, you know, stuff that's going on. So you get to feel kind of isolated within your leadership role at the church. And I think that creates a need for us to connect outside of our church. And the natural place to do that is with other people who are having the same struggles. So I think that's maybe one of the reasons why we're doing that so much. And the other thing is just the benefits of collaborating in children's ministry are so much greater, because the problems we face are so much more complex. We need to hear other ideas, where, you know, a pastor might connect with another pastor, but, you know, what they talk about, they could find in a study Bible a lot of times.
Sure.
You know, we maybe can't do that as much. So that's just my thoughts.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. It's very complex, and the amount of like people that you connect with, like on a Sunday, you got volunteers, you got parents. So it makes the relational dynamics like crazy, right?
Yeah, certainly.
Oh, that's great. That's interesting. Well, one of the thing I always find interesting is when I go to your blog, you have like such a, I guess, a potpourri, and there's like something in there for everyone. And one of the things I think that's always interesting is how you come up with like these crazy ideas, like you did March Madness last year. I thought that was just such a genius idea, where you pitted children's ministers against each other, which is always awesome. And then you just had them duke it out, you know, in like a March Madness, like a bracket form. Where do you come up with all these ideas?
Well, you know, some of them are stuff that I've done before. In March Madness, I've done that on a previous blog that was kind of a community for people who blogged, who went to my seminary. And we just thought that one up, it would be fun, because everybody was always talking smack about their basketball team. So we thought, let's just kind of morph that over. One of the great things about having a blog is you're completely free to try ideas in ways that are not going to hurt real people. Like maybe in your ministry at church, you can't just fly off the cuff and try wild things. Maybe you can, but maybe you're a little more cautious. But with a blog, I mean, you know, almost everything that I've ever done that's been really cool like that has been something I thought of. And then within 3 hours, it just got the best of me, and I had to sit down and do it. And it was just very little planning, very little thinking through, and then – you know, it went viral, you know, so
cool.
I don't know how they come, but I think maybe everybody gets great ideas, but maybe I'm obsessive enough that some of them make it out to reality.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things is about, you know, about being a blogger. I think that's nice, is that you can channel some of that creative energy somewhere that you might not always be able to do that.
Yeah, and a lot of jobs. I was talking to some people at a big publishing company, and they were telling me their frustrations. Just if they have a great idea, you know, it might take 2 years to get a new curriculum line approved, and then even into production. And then at that point, it's got to be produced for maybe 18 months. So it's like 3 years before they see their idea come to life.
Yeah.
But with a blog, I mean, from the thought occurring to the thought becoming real is maybe 8 hours.
Yeah.
So that short time span, I still have a passion for the idea by the time I get it out there, where, you know, in a lot of other things, you, after 3 years, you might not care about that idea yeah. like you first did.
Yeah. So you have to be a pretty focused person. I don't know. I don't know if there's not too many ideas I think I would care about for 5 years. I don't know.
Yeah. Not project specific kind of things.
I'm not an, I'm kind of ADD, I think. So yeah. I think a lot of people are. I guess that sort of like leads us to the next question. What do you think, Tony, like what advice would you give someone, when they're first starting their blog, and why would you tell someone to start one if they haven't already?
I think when you start something like a blog, it's real important to know what you want to get out of it. I didn't really know what I wanted. I mean, I just started doing it. I just thought, hey, this will be fun. And it was one of those. A couple hours later, wow, I had a blog and I'm blogging. But that's probably not the best way to do it. The best way is to maybe think about what you want to get out of this. If you want to write magazine articles in the future, this good practice. I have a friend who's been blogging faithfully, you know, for maybe 5 or 6 years, and now he's writing books. And that was part of his plan, is he wanted to, you know, practice communication through text, and that was his deal. If you just want to connect with other people, your blog's going to look different than if you want to be a writer. Or if you are just, I know I talked to a young guy a few weeks ago or last week who was, you know, 18 years old, and he's getting into it, and he started a blog and a podcast about children's ministry because he wants to learn in public, kind of thing. And it's keeping him accountable for his learning. So if that's your style, do that. If you've been, you know, if you're a ministry veteran and you want to go out and help other people, you know, then your blog's going to look a little different. So I think a lot of those decisions has to start with the intent of why you're doing it. And then just, you know, feel free to give up after a while. I mean, a lot of people give up on their blogs. <That's> a lot awesome. Of people don't. A lot of people, their blogs take over their life. So, you know, you got to find a balance.
You do. I remember the day I discovered date delayed posting. I think that saved my marriage more than anything. So,
amen.
So I just do a bunch at once and release them over time. So I look like I'm blogging every day.
I don't have that self control. I mean, I'll start to do that. But as soon as I edit the post and as soon as I'm ready, I mean, I've got to hit publish. I've got to see it go live. I can't wait and just, you know,
it drives me nuts. For me, it's like I'm obsessive about blogging at least once a day. So
yeah.
I don't have that many good ideas. So I'm like thinking, all right, I gotta pull this one out as long as I can.
You gotta spread it around.
Yeah.
I've gotten a little better because I read somewhere that you're supposed to, when you write something, you're supposed to sit on it for a day and then edit it or something.
Yeah.
And if you've read my blog, you know that I don't usually do that because you'll find just crazy stuff typed and you're like, what is he saying?
Yeah.
This dude needs an editor.
What does he mean? Double rainbow.
What does he mean by that?
What does that mean? That's so funny.
So I think that's something I'm getting better at when I'm actually – writing a post that's an article and not just something I'm linking real quick or a random thought. If it's like an intentional article that I want to be a good resource for people down the road and not just something they glance at and move on, then I will. The first day I'll type it into a Word file and then I'll leave it on my computer. The next day I'll come back, I'll edit it on the screen, then print it off, and then I'll come back to it later in the day and edit it with a pen. And if I'm happy with it then I'll put it in and do the graphics and formatting and title. We're rewriting the title 100 times. Titles are so important in blogs because people land on your stuff and they're like, I don't know what this is about. And, you know, so a lot of times I use long, maybe too long titles. Yeah. They're not as catchy or cool, but they communicate what the content is maybe a little better.
Right. No, that is. That's a huge thing. I mean, I remember reading a copy blogger once. You said that, like, your title is everything. Because it's – and I'm not as good at that. I need to work on that better. But, yeah, no, that's huge.
Yeah.
So, you know, real quick, just to, as we wrap up, like, tell us about your blog. Like, what is your vision behind it? Why do you do it? And what can someone – maybe someone who's never even been to your blog before, what can they expect to get out of it?
Yeah, ministrytochildren.com is a website that helps solve people's problems. Through providing resources and how-to articles and encouragement. So if they come there And I really am intentional about spreading different kinds of content around so that there will be something that's going to almost fit every person. So it's just a great variety. I have 10 different people writing on the site now. So we post 2-3 things a day on good days, one on a bad day. So there's plenty of stuff up there. And then there's a search box because it's, you know, like 1,000 articles deep now, and I can't even find the stuff I wrote, you know, navigation-wise. So, you know, there's a search box. There's tons of stuff. So the heartbeat behind it is solving people's problems and just serving people in children's ministry. A lot of our readers are in under-resourced ministries, or they're in other countries where they don't have a lot of resources. That's it in a nutshell.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate you, Tony. I appreciate all that you do for kids ministry. And I know that I've gotten lots of different things off your site, you know, the coloring pages and, you know, just different ideas. And it's just, I just appreciate, you know, your passion for the local church and for other kids ministries and kids ministry across, you know, across the, you know, and across our country and the world in general. I mean, just to be able to resource and to help people to be effective for the kingdom, and not just, you know, that's what I appreciate about you. You know, it's not so much, you're not trying to build your own thing. It's about building the kingdom of God. And I think the more that we get on the same page and do that and realize it's about building the kingdom, I think that'll make a huge difference, you know, in all of our ministries, because we're all trying to do the same thing wherever we are, you know?
Yeah. It's amazing what God's done. I'm just a guy in a little church in Indiana, and to be able to help so many people, it humbles me in some ways, because I think there's no way I'm the guru that knows all things children's ministry. There's so many people who know so much more, but you know, the ambition God's given me for this website is to go out and serve and put others first and figure out what they need. Not so much what I want to tell them about children's ministry, but stuff that they're actually dealing with and how to help them. And you know, that's the great thing about Christian ambition. If your ambition is to serve others, God's gonna bless that kind of thing. Yep. At least normally, not always, but He has in this case. And so
that's awesome.
It's great.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, Tony. Our time's up. So if you haven't already, make sure you stop by ministrytochildren.com and check out the site and drop Tony a line. And we'll talk to you later, Tony. Thanks for spending 10 minutes with us today.
Yeah. Thanks, Sam.
All right, man.
Bye.